Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 1 down to verse 5 as we'll read it together. I will read the odd numbered verses, join in the even numbered verses. Revelation chapter 22 out of the New King James Version Bible. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And I will end with verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so, Father, we pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would be our instructor. And Father God, that as we leave this church building today, that we would transform the world that we come in contact with. For those of us who trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be those who will carry the message of heaven to those who we work with, to those who we live with. And so, God, we pray that more than ever, as we look around at the world that seems to be unhinged, let us, Lord, look at it rightly. Nothing's unhinged. Everything's falling right into place because you're on the throne. And we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And as I said earlier, we're looking in our series right now, Who Told You About Heaven? If you're visiting Calvary for the first time today, we have broken away from our chapter by chapter, verse by verse study of the books of the Bible to go into this discipleship, as it were, topical series for a season. And we're looking at issues of the Bible that are important, that we better get under our belt of understanding, that as Christians in the world that we live in right now, we need to be able to not only say what we believe, but be able to defend it with a reasonable answer. We need to be able to answer people for the hope that we have within us. There's the French philosopher Jules Renard who says, on earth there is no heaven, but there are pieces of it. Now, I want you to think about that statement for a moment. That there is no heaven on earth, but he says in his statement that there are pieces of it. And I like that. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by it, but this is how I understand his statement. When you look around the world, by the way, did you know this week, did you see Mammoth, for example, Lake Tahoe? Did you see the Sierra Mountains? Did you see what happened? A feet of snow fell right here in the middle of September up in the Sierra. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's blanketed. When you look at those things of creation, the beauty of that, I understand then what he is saying. There is no heaven on this earth, but there are pieces of it. There are the things that God reveals that should cause us to worship God and frankly, to be in awe of God. And we looked last time as we began to look at these issues of heaven that when the Bible talks about heaven, we have to be very careful what we're talking about. We have to read the Bible carefully because there are aspects of heaven. And so last time we asked that question of what has God said about heaven? And we definitely included in the parentheses S, plural, heavens. Because the Bible teaches us, as we saw, that there is the heaven that is the here and now. The heaven that you and I breathe, the heaven that we see, the atmosphere where birds are flying. And we understood that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that that's exactly what God was saying. That in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's the heaven that's most immediate that we relate to. And we learned from that that the heavens that are the here and now heavens should result or prompt within our lives worship. Everything, by the way, this is not an overstatement. This is not an exaggeration. Everything that God has created, I believe, should cause us to be prompted to worship. Whatever man creates, I'm not exactly sure. Whatever God creates, I am definitely positive. It is awesome. And that God who's created the heaven and the earth, in my opinion, has left his fingerprints on a scientific level everywhere. And we would be in awe of him. And then the second thing we saw last time was that the God that has created the heavens and the earth has also created the celestial heavens. That's what we would call the second heaven. The second heaven would be where the stars are at, where the satellites travel. We would just say affectionately space. But that's a vast region. That goes out so beyond. We are still mapping it. Remember, I told you last week that the Bible says that God holds the universe, and technically it's the cosmos plural. It's hard to say. How do you say this? Cosmoses? The universes in the span of his hand. Now, that is poetic language. He doesn't have a hand that's that big, but God is that big to where there is nothing. Listen, there is nothing beyond his creation. He governs it all. Isn't that great? I love that about him. God doesn't look at the Grand Canyon and say, wow, isn't that big? You and I do that. God looks at the Grand Canyon and says, I hope they think that's cool. I hope they understand that that's a little glimpse of the power of my creative works. God is truly awesome. And we learned about the celestial heavens out of that fantastic passage of scripture in Psalm 19, verse 1. I'll just remind you of that first verse, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And we broke that down, that the heavens are speaking. The atmosphere, the stars, all that God has made is perpetually announcing that it is of an engineer. It is of a designer. It is of logic and reason, that everything is so fine-tuned that the slightest disruption has a repercussion, as it were, throughout the entire created universe. And so today, church, here's where we pick it up. Regarding the question, who told you about heaven? Well, the Bible says God has told us about heaven. And I want to stress that today, because now we look at what we refer to as the kingdom of heaven. Can you write that down? The kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a little bit of a diversion this way. We talked about what we would call the first heaven, what God created last week. We talked about the second heaven, that is the stellar, the space, the cosmos. And then we would naturally go to what is referred to by Paul the Apostle as the third heaven. We'll hear more about this today. The third heaven is the abode or the dwelling place of God. When you think about heaven, that's what you think about. You think about that. And I agree with you. But we're going to make a little bit of a diversion before we land there today. And we're talking about what is referred to as the kingdom of heaven. And if you're a note taker, I need you to write that down. It's very important. By the way, Bible students, this is important. The kingdom of heaven, the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, and the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, right? You've all read that. We'll see it in a moment. Just know this, that in the original language, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God mean the exact same thing. They're interchangeable. They completely dovetail together. When you find the kingdom of God, there present is the kingdom of heaven. When you find the kingdom of heaven, you find there present the kingdom of God. Case in point, Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24. "Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of," what? God. He uses them to speak about the exact same thing. What is, we ask the question, this kingdom of God or this kingdom of heaven? And the Bible teaches us that it is God's rule, God's authority, God's kingdom in the believer. Mark that down. This is awesome. There is the heaven that he has made. There is the heaven that is space travel. There's the heaven that you and I will eventually dwell in forever. But the Bible says that there is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that is available to be within you. And this should cause every Christian to set up and to take notice that there's something very, very holy taking place regarding our relationship with God. We very much underestimate who we are in Christ. We have made things common, and that's a tragedy. In a very real technical sense, Jesus Christ is saying that the kingdom of God is present wherever the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer. Number two, wherever Jesus Christ was walking on earth at any given moment, he would often say in the New Testament, as you read it, challenging the listeners, the kingdom of God is at hand. What did he mean by that? He meant that when he was walking into Capernaum or Caesarea, the kingdom, he was ushering it in. Wherever Christ was, listen everybody, wherever he was, in a very real way, the kingdom of God was not only being represented by him, the kingdom of God had arrived. That's purely biblical speaking, but boy, is it radical and we miss it. So listen, and I want to be careful today because I'm not here to promote some bizarro doctrine. You know me, I'm not that kind of a Bible teacher, but I want to build you up this morning safely. Look, you and I suffer. You and I have difficulties. You and I are in the process of being sanctified in a work by the Holy Spirit. But let's all remember that the kingdom of God dwells within every believer because the Holy Spirit resides in you. You are marked and stamped by the salvation of Christ himself. And wherever you go today, wherever I go, as Jesus walked into a village, so you and I walk into our community. And if anybody brings grace and mercy, forgiveness, conviction, righteousness, holiness into a community, it's you. There is a divine appointed call upon the believers' lives that should cause us all to just sit up and say, God, thank you for this amazing calling upon my life. God just didn't call you to get you into heaven. That's your destination. That's your retirement. That's the promise. That's going to happen. But what's going on with you en route to heaven? Because you are going to heaven. What does God want to do with you? He wants to use you. John came up here a moment ago and encouraged you to be used by the Gideons, to join with them, to get the word of God to the end of the earth. That's doing something with your salvation. You don't do it to get saved. You do it because you are saved. What an opportunity that Christ invites us to get involved. So you think about that. In about 40 minutes, you're going to be released from this place, if you're lucky, and you're going to get out into the world, and you are going to be Christ bearers. It is a tremendous call. And we need to take that more seriously. The fact of the matter is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus has commanded us to preach. Here's the question. If Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of God is with you or within you, then are we not taking the person of Christ, as it were, everywhere we go? You know, listen, I met a beautiful young couple. I didn't meet them for the first time. I had a meeting with them. They attend church here. And I remember meeting them in the foyer. And I got to tell you, I don't usually do this, but in my mind, I said to myself, this couple is special. There's an anointing on their lives. And I don't usually think or talk like that. And I had a meeting with them this last week. And I told them, I said, I don't know if I've ever said this to anybody before, but I got to tell you, you guys need to very, very carefully, beautifully, but carefully conduct your Christian walk because they're beautiful believers. And I just said, you need to maintain that because let this go to your heart and not your head, but God has an anointing on your life, and that's not given for without a purpose. So the two of you need to find out what that is. Both of them are studying to be doctors, and will see what God has in store for them. But you could sense that. And wherever you go, people are going to sense the fact that there's something different with them. They may not be able to say, oh my goodness, look at you. The kingdom of God is within you. No, but they might say, you know what? I was talking to you and I felt encouraged, or I was speaking to you and something's different. You seem to have looked right through me. There was a sense I had that maybe, you know what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Because now, listen, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. You think about who we are in this world. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, now when he, Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Okay, everybody said the kingdom of God was going to come yesterday, September 23rd. Jesus says, that's not what I'm talking about. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. It's been true for 2,000 years. It's true today. There is a day coming when Christ will call, rapture up the church out of this world. Our witness will be complete. I get that part. But Jesus said, listen. In fact, think about the priority of this. We want to jump ahead to let's learn about the heaven that we're going to live in forever. But wait a minute. How are you going to get there? You want to get there? Great. I agree with you. But listen. For those of you who are not aware, how do you get there? I just heard a poll recently. I read it yesterday. 74% of Americans believe that there's an actual heaven. But out of the 74% that believe that there's an actual heaven, there's 4% that were confident that they were going there. So if there's only 4% that were confident of going there, then what about the bulk of the percentage that's not sure if they're going? I would be terrified if I was in that group. Because listen, this is the American version. Oh, it's heaven. It's heaven and either A, everybody gets to go because everybody gets a trophy. Or some people get to go, but no worries because there can't be a hell. So what does it matter if I believe in God or not? We all know there just can't be a hell. Well, why can't there be a hell? Jesus said there was. When you say you're saved, think about it. What are you saying? By the way, how many of you are saved? Okay, put your hands down. If I were to ask you individually, would you be able to tell me what you're saved from? If you can't tell me what you're saved from, then how can you be saved? What are you saved from? The Bible says Christ saved us from hell and the punishment of hell and death and the grave. But he didn't only do that. He wrapped us in his holiness. He forgave us our sins and he made us acceptable to heaven. We're going to heaven if you're trusting Christ. And that's glorious news. No, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you. And do you know that today, that the kingdom of heaven is within you? There is the coming reality of heaven, but our human ability is limited to be able to imagine that. I understand that. It's embarrassing if you think about it. We as humans, we design and develop so many wonderful things. I get that. true story, okay? Humans can develop amazing things. No doubt about it. A word to the wise. When you pay to get a Universal Studios ticket in Hollywood, and you go on the tour, don't do what I did. In one of the rides where you get on there, you're supposed to wear 3D glasses. Now, I had glasses. I had my sunglasses. They handed me 3D glasses. I just never thought that I had my glasses in my hand that I needed to wear for the ride. I had my other glasses on. I enter the ride with everybody else. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's hooting and hollering. And I'm thinking, what is this? Is this a joke? This is ridiculous. I want my money back. They get out on the other end and everybody's freaking out and so happy about how cool it was. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it. What is the deal? and they're looking at me, and I got my 3D glasses in my hand with my other glasses on my eyes. I went through the ride with the wrong glasses on. I was the bozo. I couldn't see any of the technological wonders. I was looking with the wrong eyes. My eyes weren't fitted for the miracle of what they do there in Hollywood. So I missed it. And we can be all around this world looking at trees, looking at butterflies, looking at whatever's going on, and we can miss it because we're not looking at creation with the right eyes. We're not looking at the fact that heaven is coming. And we're not looking at the fact that, you know what? Listen, everybody, listen. We're not looking at the fact that we are members of a church. And I don't mean members. You know this church. We don't have your membership, do we? We don't call you up and say, aren't you going to give this month? We have no membership here. We're trusting God to provide. We always have. For 26 years, He's never failed us. Here's the thing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're born again. And if you're born again, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit has baptized you into the body of Christ, and we become members of one another. This is a spiritual truth and a reality. And if that's true in your life, we are members one of another. We're the church. We're not to hide out from one another. We are to actually get together more as we see the end days approaching. So says Hebrews 10. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Pretend we're Pentecostal. There you go. Okay, great. This is an important thing because if the kingdom of God is within us as believers, we have our personalities, yes. But Jesus died for our sins, not for our personalities. And the body of Christ is to be strengthened by interface one with another. And it's a tremendous thing. And so I'm confident. Be confident. Believer, because the kingdom of God dwells within you. The Holy Spirit is at work. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, begins there. Jesus says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father and with His angels. And then there will reward each according to his works. Accordingly, he says, I say to you that there are some standing here. Remember, Jesus was in Galilee. The disciples were around him and a huge crowd. And there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming. By the way, the word coming, you ought to circle that. The word means to appear, to be present, to behold, to resort to his kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom is coming. Judgment's coming. The end is coming. But that's later. However, there are some of you standing with me right now. You will see the kingdom come. And by the way, a lot of sloppy Bible readers and students of the Bible get all messed up about that. And they say, oh, wow, that means everything concluded back then. Book of Revelation is over. It happened 2,000 years ago because of what Jesus says right here. No, that is not proper Bible study nor reading. The Bible keeps going and says, for example, in Matthew chapter 17, look, very next verse. Remember, the original Bible's got no chapter breaks. Verse 1, now after 6 days, what? 6 days after he said what he just said, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Listen, whenever there's a special thing to be taught, he takes the special ed guys on a field trip. I'm grateful for these three. Don't think these guys are super saints. I think these were the three guys that were slower than the rest of the other guys. He always has to take these three guys away to reveal to them what it seems as though the other guys knew. So Jesus is thinking, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go talk to my Father. Peter, James, John, you better come with me. Isn't it great? So it says he led them up to a high mountain. I'm going to show you a picture of that, by the way. That high mountain, I have no doubt. There's only one high mountain in Israel, and that's Mount Hermon. He took them up to the high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured. What is that? The future king and his kingdom was happening right before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This is, by the way, the post. Think about it. He hasn't even been crucified yet, but because he's entering into eternity at this moment, this is a post-resurrection glorified description of Christ. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. Isn't that amazing? Talking with him, Jesus. Then Peter answered, which is hilarious, because who asked him anything? Nobody asked Peter a thing, but Peter starts talking. And he said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's Mark's gospel, by the way, that says that Peter said this because he didn't know what to say, so he said something. While he was still speaking, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That is the Shekinah, the glory of God. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. What happened? The kingdom of God in a moment was manifested to Peter, James, and John in an instant. And what happened? Christ, God in flesh, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, speaking. The Bible tells us in another place that Moses and Elijah spoke to Christ about his suffering, his death, and his coming resurrection. And they saw, that is, Peter, James, and John saw the glory of the kingdom to come, fulfilling the words that Jesus spoke a few verses earlier. Those three saw the glory of God in the kingdom, all wrapped up into one. It was awesome. Peter, later on in life, he's an old man now. Peter, later on in life, writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables. I'm so glad about this. You know, listen, I don't know why you're a Christian today or why you're following Jesus, but I sure hope it's the same reason that Peter says that we're not following Jesus for some cunningly devised story that's been made up. If you're following Jesus because of your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter, or because it's what the American thing to do, which it's probably not the American thing to do anymore to follow Jesus, then I don't know what to tell you, but I am so grateful this morning, church, that we are not following some made up story. People love to drop the line, oh, blind faith, nothing. My faith's founded upon fact. What's your faith founded upon? My faith is scientifically provable. My faith is archaeologically provable. My faith is mathematically provable. My faith is go on and on, linguistically. Go on and on. God called us not to check our brains out at the door and come into church. He's asked us to think and to reason. And Peter says, our faith's not founded on fables, but when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That is the reference to the transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Isn't that awesome? Heaven. It's where you're going. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1 and Matthew 10, verse 7. Listen. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christian, listen, a lot of people want to talk about, well, how come we don't see all this stuff happening in our town or in our community? Listen, number one, God will do whatever God wants to do. Miracles are happening all over the globe. What's interesting, as it was in the days of Israel, so it's happening in various parts of the world today. The Bible tells us that when the gospel is preached to a people who do not know the word, signs and wonders confirm the preaching of the word. Don't ever let signs and wonders happen and then people make up the word to back up the signs and wonders. That's how you get deceived. The word is preached, and then the power of God backs up the word preached. And you say, well, what isn't happening here? I went and prayed for my brother at UCI, and he wasn't resurrected. Listen, God does it, and sometimes God doesn't do it. Here's the point: the issue is to get people to the Word of God. And I don't know if you're following what's going on in various parts of China, North Korea, by the way, pray for the Christians in North Korea. Most dangerous place on earth to be a Christian, North Korea. But look at look what's happening with the Islamic world. From Indonesia all the way to Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. Look what Muslims are saying. By the way, possibly by confessing this, sealing their own fate. Jesus spoke to me. Jesus arrived. I saw Jesus. This Christian prayed. This person was healed instantly. It was in the name of Jesus. I became a Christian. This is happening all over the world. Listen, you don't need to see a sign and wonder to believe. You need to believe in God's word. That's his thrust. Do you believe in what he has said? Be very careful about that. Heaven. And then look, our final push today is what has God said about heaven is that heaven that is forever. This is what you're like, you think of heaven. It's like, yeah, this is it. And look, I agree with you, but I got to tell you, if you guys want to have some fun all fall and winter long, by the way, this is enough winter for me just today. This is it, okay? I woke up this morning and it was 63 degrees in my house. And I think it was like 50 something outside, and I thought, that's it. The end of the world draweth nigh. But if you want to have a tremendous fall and winter, I commend to you a study. Do a word study on heaven. It will take you the entire 3 months or 4 months, whatever. It will be a joy because you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out things you never thought of before regarding heaven. In fact, it's so vast and amazing about the heaven that is forever that brilliant scholars throughout history get in arguments about what aspect of these things will be taking place regarding heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me first tell you, I don't know the answer to those great debates by great theologians. Here's the fun part. I don't care for this reason. They talk about a future heaven, and it seems to me that their mistake is they're all trying to define the tip of a pen instead of the vastness of the scope. For example, are you ready for this? For example, and it's all true. All these things are true. Heaven is, one will say, heaven is a city. And it gives the dimensions in the Bible, which it does. And it gives you the colors of the stones and the gates and the layout and the names that are written. And it does. Then there's descriptions about a river flowing. And then it gives a description about nations, which throws some of us for a loop. I didn't think about nations in heaven. It talks about heaven being created and a new earth, which is interesting. I know we won't be disappointed, but there won't be an ocean. There won't be a sea. It's like, well, how do you go to the beach? Somehow, you will not be disappointed. This is the most difficult thing of all. We eat, but apparently we never get fat. How cool is that? But no, it says we eat and we drink, we worship, we praise. Interesting, one great scholar said, to some degree or lesser degree, we travel. And I thought, no, weirdo, that's weird, travel. Nah, I don't get. And he simply said this. He said, it says that we go in and out through the gates of the city. Okay, I can handle that. But when he talked about heaven, this is true. It's immeasurable. In the scope of heaven, there is a city that is suspended over or rests upon or barely a new earth. A new creation, a spiritual world that transcends what you and I have ever known. A world that you and I in our existence can only flirt with right now by dreams or some sort of sense or some sort of of discernment. We get a little glimpse of a spiritual realm, something whereby we begin to entertain. And listen, what is amazing about what I'm talking about, and I mentioned it last week, but it was to get to this. Nobody understands this more in an increasing level of awareness than the Christian. While the rest of the world is lamenting the fact that it is getting older, looking for the so-called fountain of youth, people who do not have the hope of heaven are worried about getting older. They're terrified about getting older. They're terrified of death. The believer understands that the heaven that awaits us through Jesus Christ, death itself that was once our terror becomes the very tool that sets us free into his kingdom for all eternity. Death becomes a stepping stone of victory to the believer. Jesus crushed the power of the grave. Broke it completely, devastated. That thing that gripped the heart of man forever was shattered. Jesus rose from the dead. And remember, his first words in his ministry was, "Follow me." And aren't you glad? I see Jesus rising from the dead, and he tells the women, "Tell the disciples to follow me into the Galilee. There I'll meet them." Jesus says to you today, "Follow me," and you're going to hear him again at the moment of your death. I believe the first words you'll hear is Jesus saying, "Follow me. Come up here." This week, Brian Lewis, dear Brian, if you didn't know Brian, you'd know who he is. Tall, handsome man, beautiful white hair, him and Kathy. Brian went to be with Jesus this week. And I reminded them at the bed. I said, "Listen, everybody," and I'm holding his hand. I said, "Listen." And it was great. He was very alert. He was very awake. I said, "Y'all need to understand something. And by the way, if you're sick, if I get the phone call to come see you, I get two responses. Pastor Jack, hi, it's great to see you. Or Pastor Jack, I didn't know I was that sick. You know, it's like I'm showing up in a cloak with a dagger or something. Here comes the Reaper. No, but this house loved the Lord and all. And I reminded them. I said, "We need to get something real straight right here, right now." Brian that we love, is not sick. Brian does not have cancer. His body has cancer. Let's remember that. His body has cancer. His spirit's not sick. There's no cancer in his spirit. His spirit's locked inside this body, soon to be a carcass. Just exactly as the Bible said, soon. Listen, the real Brian was waiting to get out. Let's go, let's go. My mom's last words with her head on my Aunt Betty's lap. She looked at my Aunt Betty and she said, "What is taking him so long?" And then she died. I hope she didn't get in trouble for questioning God like that, but no, I think he heard her and he said, "You're right, I'm here now, let's go." Listen, Christian, this is important. You and I pass from this world into the next and just flip it completely on its head. Everything seemingly that you and I do in this life seems to be so stinking physical all the time. I'm tired of it, aren't you? That's one great thing about getting old. It's like this. You go to the mall or you go to Universal Studios, you certainly go to Disneyland and you say, "This is a joke." You know what I'm saying? There are no mice that big. And the only thing goofy here is the price I had to pay to get into this mouse trap. Unhappiest place on earth should be the sign over that thing for those who have to pay. Listen, this world is so physical. It's all about it, all about it, all about it. What do you look like? What do you feel like? How's that? Ooh, what's your persona? What kind of car do you have? What are you wearing? And it's just sick. And we battle it. As Christians, we battle it all the time. All the time. Just remember, it's all fleeting. It's all rotten. It's all going away. Heaven's forever. Are you going to heaven? It's forever. That's where you're really going to go. And every night you lay your head down at night and you dream maybe a dream And you ever think about that? You think about, have you ever had a dream that felt, seemed real? Have you ever had a dream when you wake up? I don't know about you, is it just me? But have you ever had a dream where like a lion is chasing you through the streets? Have you ever had those? No? Okay, somebody analyze me then. It's just me. And it's just a dream, and you wake up and you're going, you know? Forgive me. I'm a weirdo. I love to fly. I love to fly. And in my, I have so many dreams like this where I don't know why. I'm always on a street. I see a street. This is too much information. I don't know why, but I have a t-shirt on. I always take my t-shirt off and I hold it over my head like this and I start running down the street and I start taking off. And I'm like going over, down through, flying around town, over your house, cruising around, and it's just so cool. And then I wake up and I'm so bummed that I woke up. Have you ever had a dream where you're bummed that you woke up? Who are you when you're dreaming? Who is that? Listen, that's your consciousness. Never sleeps. It's the spirit of who you are. What are you going to do when you die? Because you die physically, but you don't die on the inside. Where are you going? You're going to wake up in heaven or you're going to wake up in hell. There's no middle ground. There's no middle earth. So says the Bible. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has planted eternity in the human heart. Did you know that? You can be an atheist right here this morning or watching right now and you're an atheist and you say, this is a joke. Oh yeah, then why do you struggle with eternity in your heart? Every one of us, every human struggles with eternity in the heart. The Christian is like, yes. But do you remember before we were Christians? There was always that fear. There was always that thought of forever after death. If you don't believe in God, you're lying to yourself. And if you think you're not concerned about eternity, I know, I'm old enough to know, you're fooling yourself, but not really. It is a serious issue. And God says, I put eternity, I put the concern of it, I put the thought of it, I put the imagination of it in your heart. Because eternity is forever. We're going to be fitted for heaven, Christian, because of Jesus' resurrection. Death is the means. Death becomes a tool. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house... Look at this. I love this. Have you ever lived in a tent? I mean, you're about to move over to a tent for about 5 months. And when that sanctuary tent is done, you're going to be very happy to come back in here. Camping's great for 3 days. For we know that if our earthly house, Paul says, calls it a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. He talks about the new body as a building from God. A house not made with hands. That's human hands. Eternal in the heavens. You get a spacesuit for heaven. For in this we groan. Christians. Let me hear a groan. Oh, Advil, please. More Motrin, please. Ibuprofen, please. See how true the Bible is? Don't you groan as you get older? It's like, oh, man. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Oh, man. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, that is spiritually, he's saying, you're not going to be a ghost. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. This is the hope of the believer, man. This is what's going to happen to us. Listen, when we have a funeral for somebody, we're mourning for ourselves. We're going to have Brian's service. Brian's with Jesus having an awesome time right now. And if given the chance, he wouldn't come back. He would say, wait a minute, I've been up here for about 3 seconds. I'll wait for you up here. You guys just hurry along and I'll wait for you right here. So listen, real quick. What are we talking about when we talk about the heaven that is forever? It is the heaven that Jesus ascended back to in Acts chapter 1. That's the heaven forever. Jesus ascended back to heaven, Acts 1. It is the heaven that all God's children go to when they die, Acts chapter 7. Stephen is stoned to death by the Pharisees for preaching Jesus. And what happens? While they're throwing rocks at him, Stephen looks up and he sees, listen, this is important. I firmly believe, if you don't believe what I believe regarding what I'm about to say, I don't want to hear from you. I like what I believe on what I'm about to say. Don't take this away from me. When Stephen was being stoned with rocks on the brink of death, Stephen looked up and somehow, just like we pray for those that are being slaughtered by ISIS and their tormentors, he could see heaven. His eyes, see, he didn't keep his glasses on. He put on his Universal Studios 3D glasses, so to speak, spiritually. And you know what? How do we know that? Because he said, well, he's getting rocked. He says, I see heaven opened. Ha ha! I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the majesty. And Stephen said, Father, just like Jesus did, Stephen said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the Bible says he died. Well, he didn't really die. He moved. Right? He relocated. This is what I believe about me and about you who are believers. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if ISIS wants to cut your head off or it's some bonehead murder that breaks into your house or you forget to brake and rear end the back of a truck. I believe that at some point in time in that remarkable moment, the believer sees heaven opened. We've been praying that little children who have been crucified by ISIS, 2-year-old, 3-year-old children are being crucified. We've been praying, God, let them not feel a thing. And let them see you standing. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's the only place in the Bible where we see Jesus standing at the death of one of his children. Look, I don't know what you want, but I want Jesus to stand. Well, listen, when I'm fading from this world, I want to look up and say, I see Jesus standing to greet me. I believe that. Do I don't? Well, that's your problem. I believe it. It brings me great joy. He stood for Peter. Listen, he stood for James. He's going to stand for me. He's not a respecter of persons. And Lord, you stood for James. You got to stand for me. Or Stephen, you got to stand for me. We're just the same. I'm just as saved as he is. Same blood that forgave him is the same blood that forgave me. So Lord, I can't wait to see you stand on my last breath. Looking forward to that. It's the heaven that Jesus has been preparing for us, John 14. That's where we're going. It's the heaven that descends back to a new world that he creates. After the millennium, there's a whole new world created. It's a heaven that the martyrs receive. Paul the Apostle, for example, listen to this. Paul talks about, and by the way, many scholars believe this is by virtue of the fact, I believe it's Lystra, where he was stoned with rocks, left for dead, the Apostle Paul. God touched him, he rose back up. But listen, he says, speaking, I believe, in the alternate person, he says in 2 Corinthians 12:2, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, and everything fits perfectly with the stoning in Lystra, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if I was there in totality or I was just there in spirit. I don't know what happened, but I know this. He was caught up into paradise and he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Whatever Paul saw, he's saying, I saw heaven. And I can't talk about it. Oh, come on, Paul. Just would like to sit down and have this interview with you. Mm-mm. There is not a human word on the planet that is fit to describe how awesome heaven is. Paul said, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. If the Holy Spirit wouldn't let Paul talk about it, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's asking people to write books about it, personally. That may offend you if you're writing a book on it, but listen to this. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. For as it is written, eye has not seen. All right. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. What is that? God has made heaven for us to enjoy and to experience. And he gives us these little snippets of revelation. I don't know about you guys, but you can only take a second of it. You know what I'm talking about? It's a thought. It's a moment. Call it an epiphany. Call it an imagination. Whatever. It's like the reality of God strikes you for a second. And it's like, no more. God, wait. I can't handle that. To think for a second that you're going to look past all of my pathetic, disgusting human failures and sins since I became a believer in you. And your blood will have washed me clean, and I'm going to walk up to you and my chin is going to be prone to be glued to my chest for shame. And you're going to scoop me up and you're going to hold me because you see me washed in your blood? You see me as your child, and if on a little scale I can look at my children, or even better yet, grandchildren, and they're perfect. They're perfect. My standards are really low. If they walk in the front door, it's all right. And I gladly set those standards. Well, God does the opposite. God says, impossible, but let me cover you in my forgiving blood. And God doesn't wait for the kids to come in the door. God runs to the door after the kids. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's not being mean. He's not being weird. He's actually saying, hey, I want you with the Father. You're going to love it. There's only one way to get there, and I'm going to tell you how to get there. He's not being a weirdo. You know, here's what a weirdo does. I just found this incredible restaurant. It's the best in the world. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. What kind of a person is that? No, Jesus says, listen, ultimate, I'm going to say this as it is, because our minds are polluted. I'll say it as it is. The scripture says, in his presence is fullness of and pleasures forevermore. In our world, we think, well, that's kind of weird. You have no idea what that means. That's the best part about it. What does that mean? I believe there's going to be colors discovered. I believe that there's going to be frequencies of sound that we've never heard. I believe I'm even going to have a great voice in heaven. I won't sound like Kermit the Frog anymore. Jesus says, I want you there, and I'm going to tell you how to get there. I'm the way you get there. Why would you argue with that? Think about it. What's wrong with us? Jesus says, it's fantastic. I'm going to come and die on the cross for your sins so you can get all washed up, clean and white with forgiveness, because my Father and I, the Spirit also, we want you there. I'm telling you how to get there. Paid the price for you. Take the ticket. Here you go. Free. And this is where you go. Why would you argue about the person giving you the ticket and then not go through the door? What's wrong with you? Honestly, what in the world is wrong with you? It is. If the experience of Isaiah when he saw heaven in Isaiah 6, I'm going to go quick. I can't read it all. Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw heaven and he said, woe is me. This is awesome. I see angels. The glory of God. And if the experience of Paul on his way to Damascus meets Jesus on the King's Highway and he's devastated by the glory of Jesus, if the Mount of Transfiguration devastated them so that they fell on their face, if the experience of the apostles was the same experience reaction of the prophets, It's safe to assume that the experience of all human beings will be that they see the glory of God. All human beings that have ever been created, regardless of their faith, they must all, listen, all unbelievers, Revelation 20:11, must stand before the judgment seat of God. Can you imagine that they'll see the glories of heaven? Have you ever taken a peek in coach into first class? You're paying $5 for cardboard and what looks like a slice of ham, and they call it a sandwich, and then you hear silverware rattling in first class, and you look up there and people are eating ice cream and steak. Can you imagine? You're standing before the throne of God and you would refuse to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. And you see the glories of heaven only to find out that you in life rejected the salvation that's in Jesus. And you're just pulled away, taken away from the ultimate. And it will never be yours. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? So what will we see in heaven upon arrival? Well, according to the Bible, seems to be in this priority. We see Jesus. Did you know that? Apparently he greets us. From the Bible, we see it then quickly, the throne of God. We see the description of the throne and all of its glory. We see seraphim and cherubim around the throne of God. We see lightnings and thunders and voices uttered in praise and worship. What is heaven going to be like? As I said earlier, it's going to be like a city, or it is a city. There's light there forever, never night. There's no physical limitations that we know of there. Abounding peace, abounding pleasure, abounding joy. What is going to be happening there? Praise, as I said earlier, worship, ultimate fulfillment of the things that the human heart has desired but wrongfully filled, God will satisfy. Proof of that is in Revelation 21 and 22. You can read it later in detail. It's awesome. There's joy in heaven. Jesus said that there's joy among angels. When one sinner repents, angels express joy in heaven. Where will eternity be? That's a great question, and it's a huge answer. Eternity will be in eternity. Heaven will be in eternity. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. It's beyond description. And then finally, regarding the questions I heard from people, and this is still by far the greatest fear of every or any Christian. How can I be in heaven, Pastor Jack, and be happy if someone I love deeply on earth doesn't make it to heaven? You want to know the answer to that? The answer is both simple and terrifying. And I'm happy to tell you that you will never. Are you listening? It's simple yet terrifying. What about the person I love and they don't make it to heaven, but I'm there? The person that you loved but never made it there will never be missed by you. You will never, never be sad that they're not there. You will never wonder why they're not there. Because they were never born again into the family that you were born into. For you, for me, eternity declares we will never remember those former things. And that includes people who never chose Christ. You will not lament that your husband or wife or father or child or parents didn't make it. You will have no knowledge that they ever existed. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, how incredibly damning and horrific and terrifying is the thought that you will never be remembered. Swept away by your self-willed denial of Jesus. I want to show you two clips. I don't want you to laugh. The tendency is to laugh. I watched this happen actually before in real life. And you want to laugh, and then you realize that's not going to be funny for them. But before we show this guy's queued up, listen, are you going to be swept away? Listen, are you going to be swept away and never remembered because you wouldn't accept the gospel of Jesus? And you think you're going to have a defense for that in the cosmic courtroom? This is why I didn't become a Christian. Will not hold up, because any accusation that you have to bring forth that God the Father will listen to will have to be a correct accusation about what Jesus did wrong. And my dear friend, Jesus did nothing wrong. And you'll know it that day. And your name will be blotted out of the book of life. You will never be remembered in hell. You will never be remembered in heaven. Because you missed the opportunity. We have reminders of these things in life. This is a cruise line. Listen carefully.
It must be an awful sign if you are just coming there and you see the ship leaving.
She said it must be an awful sight to see your ship leaving. People waving goodbye. Okay, next slide. For 30 minutes, the ship's been blowing a torn before it pulled away from the dock. 30 minutes. The departure time is published. Everybody knows. Here's a close-up of those two. Number one, she's trying to be dressed. Number two, look at that guy burdened down with all the souvenirs. They never make it. They never make it. Lisa and I watched this happen in Juneau, Alaska. The ship pulled away as the couple came running up. They never made it. Listen, the ship leaves. The time is published. Then there's a little bit of time of grace. They wait 30 minutes. And then by international law, the ship has to leave because now a late departure endangers the rest of the lives of all who are on board because they have schedules and weather and things to deal with. And emotionally, you can argue all you want. They should go back. They should turn around. Never going to happen. They knew what time. They signed the contract when they bought their tickets. They said they understood the way. And they missed it. They got too caught up, easily to do, too caught up in shopping, too caught up in trying this on, maybe getting something for Junior back home. It doesn't matter. Maybe they didn't plan it. Obviously, they were too late. And Jesus said, I'm coming in an hour that you do not know. Not September 23rd. I'm coming in an hour you don't know. Be watching. Be ready. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to heaven, and I can't wait. I hope it's today. Why be late? You know what? You can't be late to heaven. You're going to die, or you're going to get raptured right on time. God has set that time. Don't be like those people. Let that be a lesson. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, Father, that these reminders in life, I've got those six cocoons right outside my window at home, waiting to become a butterfly. Ugly caterpillars, ugly cocoons, soon to be magnificent butterflies. We have ships leaving docks at the published time. No one to be faulted but those who didn't care. We have the gospel that for God so loved the world that he gave his only glorified, begotten, one and only, no other son, Jesus Christ. And if you would believe, trust in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. You will not miss the ship. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, I'm going to ask you right now, right where you're at, to make this decision for Jesus, that you would say to him now, Lord, I want to be in heaven. I want to have the hope of heaven. I understand that hope requires me telling you that I'm a sinner, that I have sinned against you, God. I have had lustful thoughts, angry thoughts, violent thoughts, envious thought, whatever the thoughts are, pride. God, I'm a sinner and I need your saving. Jesus, I need your washing. I need what you did for me at the cross to be my own personal experience. I want to agree with the prophets and I want to agree with the apostles. I want heaven. You're the God of all glory. Friend, right where you're at right now, you tell God in your own words, I need you. I want you. I'm giving you my life. Jesus, save me now. I put my trust in you. And church, may we leave today, as it were, burning torches. Like in the days of Gideon, may the pots be broken open and may the fire of the torch burn bright in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. We all ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand as we